Good morning, everybody. Let's just pray again. We say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we would ask that our hearts, our minds, our soul would be open to receive and to act on your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just before I start, this is something especially for Bruce and Sarah, but also for all those involved in the food bank at the well, which, as we all know, has been a great blessing and still is a blessing to so many people. And we're so thankful for church organizations, schools, individuals who bring food in to the food bank. And as a part of accountability, the food always has to be checked to see that it's in date and that it's okay. So I was quite amazed this week to read that a food bank in Cardiff received a tin of Heinz kidney soup, which was 47 years old. And had a price ticket of 8p. That's pre-decimal 8p. It was also followed along by a 32-year-old tin of sweet corn. So there you are. You never know what's going to end up, so to speak. I want to talk this morning about characteristics. And all of us here today have characteristics which define who we are. And probably the greatest characteristic of Jesus was his love. For you, for you, for you, in fact, every one of you. Without Jesus, none of us would be here today. But we're going to look at two other characteristics of Jesus. And we also can have them if we choose. The first is his prayer life. And the second, his compassion. And when you have prayer plus compassion, you have fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus and fellowship with one another. The door of prayer and compassion is open here today. Now, the importance of prayer. Most of us here today have either prayed for someone or something, or you have needed prayer. Strange sometimes how we're reluctant to ask for prayer. But God answers prayers in one of three ways. Yes. No. Yes, but not yet. And the last reply seems to be, for some people, the most dreaded, sometimes even more than an outright no. However, patience is an important makeup of a Christian. And Scripture stresses this repeatedly in stories, psalms, and the epistles. But we can't help feeling disappointed when the door of opportunity closes. But our loving God will often prevent us from going forward when he wants to redirect our steps forward to a much wiser path. And our reaction determines whether we'll get a blessing or not. Will we beat against the barred door or look for a new opening? We're going to look at an example now from Paul in the book of Acts. Thank you, Di. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul's second missionary journey included a series of no admittance signs. Paul set out to visit the churches he had started across Asia, but the Holy Spirit led him away from city after city. And it must have been quite frustrating for Paul to be prevented from carrying out the gospel message. But because he obeyed God by going to Macedonia, that route led him to key cities of that day: Philippi, Corinth, and Ephesus were major commerce centers which he could carry the gospel even further. And if we are to follow God's will for our life, we need to keep in contact with him. By doing that, he will direct yours and my steps down the right paths and through the best doorway. Now, when Jesus was down here on planet Earth, he took himself away to spend time with his Father in prayer. No matter what he was doing each day, he still made time to pray. And if you go to John's Gospel, chapter 17, a long chapter, but a whole chapter devoted to prayer, you can see Jesus emphasizing the need for prayer. And it's split into three sections. And in the first section, Jesus prays for himself. You could say, well, that's a bit selfish. But when you read the prayer, his prayer is this: that he might glorify his Father in all that he does. The second prayer is for his disciples, particularly that they might have the full joy of Jesus within them, and that they will be protected against the evil one. All protection to continue Jesus' work. And lastly, Jesus prays for all believers. Yes, that's you and me. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying. And now for the hard part: that we might be as one in unity. Uh-oh, that's put the cat amongst the pigeons. Jesus is saying, I've got to get along with you, with you, with you, with my in-laws, with my outlaws, other religions, family members that have been torn apart for years. One thing in this church is that we always offer prayer at the end of the service. The same at the well, and even by email many times, prayer requests. And the very fact that the whole chapter is devoted to prayer shows the importance that Jesus has put in. It begs the question, how is your prayer life? Second one is compassion. I looked up in the concordance and compassion or compassionate appears 90 times. And there is a difference between compassion and sympathy. Sympathy responds to suffering with sorrow. But compassion responds with warmth and care. A dictionary description of compassion says, concern for the suffering or misfortune of others, a deep awareness of another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate suffering. In other words, caring for self. In other words, caring for others, not for self. One of the great many things about Jesus was his compassion for many. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew 15, again, the feeding of the 4,000. And Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus is traveling through the towns and villages, and the crowds were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. You may say, well, that's all very well because that happened when there was crowds. What about my situation? Well, here's a fact. Jesus had compassion on individuals as well. Mark 1, the man with leprosy. Leprosy is such a horrible thing that nobody would want to go near to anyone like that. But Jesus had compassion on him. And the prodigal son, Luke 15. Even though the son had squandered all his inheritance, his father could have said, I told you so. You wouldn't listen. You're not getting any more. What have you come back for? No, his father's compassion reached out and said, my son was lost and dead, but now he is alive and found. That's real, real compassion. Paul, writing to the other churches in 2 Corinthians, he says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Again, to the Philippian church, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, being one in spirit and purpose. And to the Colossian church, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Burying the hatchet means completely that. Not leaving the handle sticking out so that you can pick it up again. How many times do you and I do that? And in the book of James, chapter 5, James talks about perseverance in suffering. He says, you've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So if you're going through a tough time at the moment, it will not last forever. Don't ignore prayer. The more you keep in contact with Jesus, the better it will become. Don't get bogged down with prayer thinking that you must say it in a particular way. Prayer with Jesus is a simple conversation between you and him. It's so easy to pray for something when you need it. But Jesus wants to build a fellowship with you. The closer you get to him, the more you can be blessed. And the closer we get to him, the more we become like him. Compassion. It's like pouring oil on troubled waters. If you need prayer today, please ask at the end of the service. Maybe you want to know more about compassion and to become compassionate. Ask today at the end of the service. We've looked at the scriptures for both prayer and compassion. I'm going to leave you with two examples of prayer and compassion that goes on today. Now with prayer, there's a man called Robert Hamlet, who is a singer-songwriter. And he wrote a song called Lady Who Prays For Me. It was as a tribute to his mother, who made a point of praying for her sons every morning before they caught the school bus. A young mother heard Hamlet sing his song, and she committed to praying for her son every morning. The result was heartwarming. Just before her son went out the door, his mother prayed for him. 5 minutes later, he returned, bringing kids from the bus stop with him. His mother was taken back and asked what was going on. The boy responded, their mums didn't pray with them this morning. Paul writes in Ephesians, he urges us to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And finally, compassion. Now, one of the things as preachers, we do not speak with the band to try and influence in any way at all a particular song that we might want. So therefore, God blessed me by what I'd prepared without knowing what was going to be sung today. And there is a song by Hillsongs, which we sang this morning, in fact, the very first one. It's called Mighty to Save. And the words are, everyone needs compassion, a love that never fails. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything that I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So whatever your situation in life today, even if you've been a Christian for many, many years, or if you're a new Christian, or if you haven't found a relationship with Jesus yet, verse 2 can be your prayer today. If you feel inadequate or you think what you have to offer isn't sufficient, make this your prayer today. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything that I believe in. Now I surrender. Amen.